Corinthians chapter 10. Again, tonight's going to be a little bit different, not a normal Sunday night message here. This message is in preparation for our Faith Promise Missions Conference. And once a year, we have a conference in which we have missionaries in, of course, and it's during that time that we decide how much are we going to give towards world missions that year. Of course, everything we give in when it comes to missions, everything goes to missions. And you're going to be receiving one of these Faith Promise Missions cards are going to be available throughout the week from Wednesday through Sunday. And this is what we ask that you fill out during this conference. There's no names on it, anything like that. We're going to cover that today. This isn't something agreement where the church follows up on. This is something between you and the Lord. There's no name on it, but it is what you believe the Lord is leading you to do towards world missions financially. And this way we can budget for what we're going to do and be able to support missionaries to see how many new missionaries that we're able to take on. And it's done through this idea of faith promise. It's something based upon faith. All right? And so anyhow, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at something here. We're going to focus a lot in 8 and 9, especially chapter 8 a little bit. But I want you to notice something first in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 13 through 16. It says, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." There's a comma there, the point getting to verse 16. "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask your blessing upon the service tonight. Lord, please fill me with your spirit. Lord, help me to teach this effectively. And Lord, at the same time, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, we pray that you would help me to present the gospel effectively during this as well. Lord, even this evening they would come to know Christ. Bless all that's going to be done, Lord. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 right here, it's a little bit different what's taking place in 8 and 9. But there's an enormous point we need to draw out here that's critical when it comes to faith promise missions. What Paul is dealing with here, in the church at Corinth, they had a lot of problems. I imagine most of you, if you've been saved any number of years with some Bible study behind you, you understand that the church at Corinth probably had more problems than any other church were dealing with in the first century. They had sin problems, they had doctrinal problems, they had pride problems, they had division. It goes on and on and on and on. And what Paul is dealing with here is dealing with the issue of some of the false prophets who had risen up, and they were attacking the Apostle Paul and his apostleship. All right? Basically stating, you know, what authority does Paul have over us? You know, who does he think he is? You know, the typical tit-for-tat scenario was taking place with it. And he's addressing that. And he's letting know, he said, listen, it was of the Lord that I was brought to you. I did not go anywhere on another man's labor. It was of God that I was there. It was up to your boundary, your measure. This is where God had me. And he wasn't about to change that. He wasn't about to. And he lets him know in the verse as he was, you know, let me walk you through this a little bit. He said, I'm not going to boast of things without our measure. In other words, he's dealing with God's will for his life and where he ministered, where the Lord led him to plant churches, to get things established. And the Lord had led them right to Corinth. And pretty much at this time, that's been the extent of it to Corinth. All right. This is taking place around Paul's third missionary journey. He says, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come far unto you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure. In other words, he's saying, I don't come to you like these false prophets were, of boasting of things that I haven't done. He said, the things that I tell you, those are things I've actually done. I'm not boasting of another man's labor. I'm not taking credit. I didn't see somebody working here, and now I'm claiming it. He said, I'm not doing any of that. He goes, what you hear me saying is what I've done. I'm staying in the will of God, following the leading of God right to where he led me. And he led me, of course, also to Corinth. And this is, of course, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. And he continues on, but having hope, all right, that when their faith is increased, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. What Paul was hoping for, he said, listen, when you guys get on track here, your faith is going to grow. And he said, basically, I need your faith to grow. Here's why. He said, because that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Here's why. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. He wants them to get right, their faith to increase, so they can help him get to the regions beyond with his missions work. That's world missions right there. This is him going, of course, to the church here at Corinth and saying, listen, I'm going to need you behind me in this. I've got a lot more open doors that the Lord has given me that I'm going to be preaching the gospel, establishing churches. I need you behind this. He recognizes that the Lord is using now in the first century as the Apostle Paul is establishing these churches. I mean, nobody else was doing that like the Apostle Paul, of course. And that the Lord is going to use that to help continue him as he goes further and further in establishing churches and preaching the gospel. That they would have a part financially behind that and supporting him as he goes out to preach in the regions beyond. Well, we have the same principle right now. We still have God sending people out throughout the world preaching the gospel beyond you. We're responsible right here for Anchorage. When we leave these doors, we don't bring missionaries in to preach the gospel here in Anchorage. It's our responsibility. You're a missionary. You have to understand, if you are saved, you're a missionary. It's your responsibility to preach the gospel where you're at. But Paul is dealing with beyond you, the places you can't go. And he's letting him know the support he needs for this to take place comes from the local church. So that's what Faith Promise Missions Conference is about. It's allowing our church to have a part in world missions, reaching beyond us. I know we have it up here on the sides. We have it on the back there, Mark 16:15, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we can actively do that ourselves with our own voice right here in the Anchorage area. And we should be. We're ambassadors for Christ. But we have a responsibility to the world. And so our part when it comes to world missions is being the senders. Look again at Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We'll start in verse 14. How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The sent there means making the provision for it. They're being sent out. And so they're not going to be able to, in order to believe, you got to hear it. In order to hear it, you've got to have a preacher. In order to have a preacher in those regions beyond, they've got to be sent. And that's where the responsibility of local churches comes into play here, where we recognize that and say, listen, we have got to be able to set aside financially here so that we can send missionaries out worldwide. And if you look in the back of did anybody not get one of these books? Is anybody here does not have one of our Mission Conference books? We can get our ushers to get them right there. And again, if you look in the back, take a look back there. All right, where does it start here? Look at all those names. Those are missionaries that we are supporting throughout the world right now. Those are missionaries, many of them, of course, we're about the last time zone in the world right here. By the way, isn't it amazing? It's September 24th and we're still here. I'll leave that alone right now, but not for long. It's really, anybody not have one? We have one of our head usher here with some. If you did not get one, we have plenty of these. Just raise your hand. We'll get you one of our missionary booklets. And, of course, we want to even do more for world missions. We want to do more for world missions. That's why I asked you last Sunday night, right? Yeah, last Sunday night when I preached on missions then in preparation for this conference, to just take 60 seconds a day to pray and ask what God would have you to do. Continue that all this week up through the conference saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And hopefully by the time Saturday comes around, Sunday comes around, you know what it is. So when you put in your faith promise card and what you do is only thing that's on you, you simply put down the amount. And we really prefer monthly. It helps us to budget monthly for this. All right. You can put down yearly or weekly, whatever you want to do. But it helps us to know we send out checks once a month. It helps us to know how to do that. There's no name on here, nothing like that. You're just simply going to put that down with the way the Lord's led you. So this is what we're going to do by faith, that we're committed to it for the next 12 months. You know, each month we're going to do this, or each week if you want to, but monthly really does help us. It helps us, you know, see where we're at, to see if we can take on new missionaries or not, and go from there. And then you're just going to put these in our box. We have our boxes on the back wall there, and we might even collect some. And then by Sunday night, we'll see where we're at in regards to world missions for this next year. I have a quote in the beginning of the book. Look at you. If you have the book there, open it up to the very first page. I mentioned this last week, I believe. I'm going to quote from it here. It says, "A Faith Promise Missions Conference is the most important business meeting your church will have this year. There is only one item of business on the agenda, the fate of the heathen, those lost without Christ. Each of the members will vote. By our giving, we vote for them to hear the gospel so they can be saved, or by our failing to give, we vote for them to go to hell without hearing the gospel. Every member must vote one way or another." Now, again, I think it's important that we do see our responsibility. I do believe it's one of the most important meetings we have of the year right now is Missions Conference and what we're going to do. You're going to have all kinds of things coming up to distract you this week. You're going to have all kinds of things, and what I'm asking again is that you set that time. Of course, you should have a set prayer time every day. Please have that every single day. And more than just a little, you know, fling-up prayer, you know, you should have a devotional time with God. So what I'm asking in addition is just taking a minute, setting aside a minute every day, just praying about this conference and what the Lord would have you to do towards world missions. And so again, we see our responsibility with it in the Bible as the Apostle Paul. These churches were just getting established now, right here in the first century. And we see Paul is letting them know, listen, I want to see you grow in faith so you can help me reach into the regions beyond you. So that's what this conference is about. So let me talk about a few things here in regards to faith promise right now. Now, the faith promise is different than your tithe. The tithe is what the church operates on. You don't give your tithe, by the way. That's a whole separate... That is the Lord's. It's not an offering. It never was in the Bible. It is the Lord's. It's His. So this has nothing to do with tithe. This is something that is separate. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's the tithing that allows us, of course, to reach the gospel, preach the gospel right where we're at here in Anchorage. It gives us the means to be able to do that. It gives us the means to have our local assembly right here and meet the needs that are here. It is missions that helps us to reach beyond ourselves. 2 Corinthians, I got to get there. I don't know why I went to Timothy right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. All right, I'm going to start in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, how that in great trial of their affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." To the saints, excuse me. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so would he also finish in you the same grace also." You're going to see the word grace is mentioned about seven times in these two chapters. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, we'll stop right there and go from there. Now, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it's commonly brought up, of course, in regards to faith, promise, missions, and for good reason. But understand this, it's not actually dealing with missions and reaching the lost in chapters 8 and 9. That would be a little bit misleading if I'm going to present it that way. What happened was, of course, you had the famine that was taking place there in Jerusalem. You had other Christians who were suffering. And so Paul was trying to help them out. He's trying to provide relief to those saints. Financially, whatever he could bring to them, he was trying to organize that. He starts off referring to the churches there in Macedonia. We're dealing with Philippi, the church at Berea, Thessalonica, and how these were poor churches, especially compared to Corinth. And yet he was just amazed at what they were able to do to help with the saints in Jerusalem. And he was given the pattern to Corinth there of what they were doing, and he's wanting them to follow that. Because Corinth had committed, as we finished that verse, what happened was, he doesn't say the amount, or if they gave a set amount, but they did commit to giving something, and they probably told Paul an amount what they would do. Well, it's been a year, and they haven't done it. And so he's trying to encourage him, hey, let's not forget what you said here. All right? You abound in different graces and different things and strengths, but you need to have this grace as well. Don't forget about the promise that you made here. But what we have laid out for us in chapters 8 and 9, though, is some principles when it does come to giving, and we're not dealing with tithes and standard offerings. It fits that mold perfectly for what's taking place. As a matter of fact, obviously the argument could be made, and rightfully so, that when it comes to faith promise, we're dealing with a much greater issue than even what Paul was dealing with in chapters 8 and 9. A greater need, if you will, and that is the evangelization of the lost and the local church's responsibility in getting the gospel to all the world. So, it referred to it about, again, 7 or 8 times as a grace. We see the grace here with the churches in Macedonia, how much they were able to give. It was beyond themselves. Paul was just amazed at how much those little churches did. I was always amazed by that. Even when I was on deputation, heading out to the mission field, what some of the tiniest churches would do. It was incredible. I was preaching in one church, and their building was the pastor's garage. That's where they met. It was in his garage. It was folding chairs in his garage. He had set up a pulpit, and that's where I preached. I did a mini conference for them on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. Actually, I still remember that well. We had to leave that Saturday night. After that meeting, I had to drive all night to get to preach that Sunday morning. It wasn't good planning on my part for those meetings. That was the only time I did that. But one of the largest love offerings wasn't the largest, but definitely in the top five that I received towards missions was in that church where they met in a garage. It was one of the largest I received. And I remember being in huge, huge churches preaching, and you would get virtually nothing towards missions. And Paul's seen the same thing play out here, what was going on at the church of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, what they were able to do towards world missions. Because it's something that's a matter of faith. All right? Faith promise, he talks about, is a demonstration of love. Look at, I believe it was verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, listen, this giving, what they were going to do in this offering back to the saints at Jerusalem, it was going to demonstrate their love. In other words, they had told Paul how much they care about him, how much they want to help. They'd said that a year ago. He said, listen, you said that. You told me with your mouth of the love and concern you have. And by the way, Paul knew, that's a whole separate issue, but I really want to bring it up right now. He realized how much this would help with some of the conflicts that were arising between Gentiles and Jews who were saved. And he realized how much this event could help. But that's a whole side issue. And so he let him know, listen, you said this a year ago, I heard it, but now it's when you actually do it, he lets him know that I'll be able to prove the sincerity of your love. And so we can claim a lot about world missions, but the truth is what? Your treasure is where your heart is. Where the heart is, there is your treasure also. And that's the truth. Marianne knows that I love her, not because I tell her every day, all right? I mean, I should do that. That should be a part of it. But it's my actions that demonstrate that love. It has nothing to do with, if you're just saying it all the time, and yet your life doesn't demonstrate it, does it do you any good? Of course not. And so he's letting me know, he's trying to prove the sincerity of your love. Again, we say that we have love missions. We say that we have a desire to reach the world. But you know what determines that each year? You know what proves the sincerity of your love each year? Faith, promise, missions, commerce, says. That's what does it. It is something that you do. It's based on the Lord's leading in your life. It's done with a willing mind. It refers to in chapter 8. I'm going to get to where it talks about, has every man a purpose in his heart? Sometimes I've heard faith promise preached from a sort of a not very scriptural point of view. I don't believe it should be done. I want to be careful how I say this. You know, sometimes you hear it presented where you don't take anything into consideration. You just throw it out there. That's not it. We don't see that in chapter 8. We don't see that in chapter 9. It's something, no doubt, it's going to be by faith. And I believe when you're walking by faith, the Lord is going to direct in it. And a lot of times that direction is going to surprise you. I remember, I can think many times as we gave the missions in the conference year in and year out, be like, wow, really? Okay. So anyhow, let me try and tie this in, leading some principles here forth that we see in the scripture. If it's going to work, I believe number one, of course, you see the principle found in verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. If you're going to be able to know the Lord's leading and direction, what he'd have you to do towards faith promise, you've got to be right with God. You have to give yourself first to the Lord, or you're going to look at this purely from the carnal standpoint and not the spiritual standpoint. And I have news for you. Your carnal mind could really care less about world missions. You understand that? What it cares about is self. What it cares about is, you know, the next thing that you can get. That's what it wants. It doesn't want. So you're going to have to be spiritually minded if you're going to be able to follow the leading of the Lord in this. You have to give your, it starts with the giving of your own selves to God. You know, if we're going to have a missions conference, it takes that willing heart, the surrender heart, saying, Lord, whatever you have me to do, that's what I'll do. Giving yourself to God. I think a good way to look at it, it is taking, you know, from what our income is, the things that the Lord has blessed us with, and asking, okay, how much of what I have can I give? How much of what I have, Lord, can I give? Trusting God by faith to provide it. Again, God does not measure our gift by what others give. He measures it by what we have to give. It's not the amount that impresses God. All right? That's not it. It's not it. Where is it? Watch my mind go blank on this. Luke 21. Go to Luke 21. And it's not here. I don't know where it's at. Luke chapter 21, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all of these have cast in of their abundance, for all these have cast of their abundance, cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury, of her need, hath cast in all the living that she had. So this woman has cast in. It was based on not simply the amount. It was based on what the person had the ability to give. Again, that's what the Lord is looking at. I believe that's the way the Lord will direct. He's going to look at it. And I believe he'll, if you'll truly seek him and get right with him, he'll make it clear exactly what you need to do. Now look at verse, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 7. 8 and 9 is still dealing with the collection he was trying to get to bring to Jerusalem. So again, we're just drawing principles from that for these type of offerings, which faith promise would be one. He He said, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. All right? So this is something, it's not something that we come up and we say, you know what, you need to be giving 5%, 15%, 25%, nothing. I'm not, you know, that's not right. It's what you purpose to give towards world missions. It's what you decide. But you have to be right with God in order to understand what the Lord have you to do. But it's what you purpose in your heart. So it's you looking at, okay, how has the Lord blessed us? And Lord, here's what we have. You know what it is. Lord, we're seeking you. What would you have us to do? And if you're spiritually minded, you know, he'll guide and direct in that. Usually how me and Mary Ann did it every year is both of us pray about it. And then the day we decide that we're going to turn in our Faith Promise Missions card, usually the last day or the day before the conference, we come to each other and say, all right, what amount did the Lord put on your mind and what did he put on my mind? And whatever's the lower amount, we go with. That was a joke. Yeah. What we're looking for there is the same amount. What we're looking for there is the same amount. And if we don't, we got to pray some more. If somebody's listening wrong or we both got it wrong. And so what we're hoping for is we both come up with the same amount at that time. And but it's what you purpose to do. It's what you purpose in your heart. All right, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. You purpose to do it. All right, now, what also we see in verse 7, though, not only do you purpose to do it, but please have the right attitude about it. All right, please have the right attitude about it. You're missing out on your blessing. You're like, man, I cannot believe we're doing this. You know, the last time you bought that cruise ticket, I wasn't like, man, I can't believe I got to buy this cruise ticket. You know, it was probably, wow, yes, can't wait. See, our problem, what helps you with the right attitude, as it says in verse, I should read the verse there, huh? It says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, he doesn't want this done, even though we have responsibility to reach the world, this isn't something he wants done out of duty. This isn't something he's like, man, I can't believe. I mean, put it in perspective. This is world missions. This is getting the gospel to the farthest reaches, to keeping all those missionaries right there on the field. So it's doing it with the right heart. And I believe what helps the right attitude is perspective. Having the right perspective. Knowing you are taking part in the Great Commission. Knowing that God blesses this. Knowing that it's of faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And again, think of the lives that will be reached. You remember last week after I finished the presentation from New Guinea, the little 7-minute video I showed last Sunday night from PNG. And near the end of it was Joseph, the older man, who I mentioned how he had died the day that I returned from furlough. Now, what I didn't tell you about Joseph, and this is the, I'll probably do maybe 2 stories right here just to try and show you what missions is about, all right? When that furlough started, all right, going back to my last service before that furlough started, Joseph wanted to talk after the service. I was already having to pick him up. He could no longer walk, even though he only lived about 1 kilometer from where we met, maybe 2 kilometers from where we met. And he always walked, but again, about that last year, his health was already declining, and so I would pick him up and take him in for the last bit and then drop him back off, and even several of the services he couldn't make. He just couldn't move. But he was still, you know, probably 3 out of 4 Sundays he was going to be in church. And it was my last Sunday there before starting that furlough. And Joseph had asked if he could talk with me. And I said, sure. So I went back by where he was sleeping. And I went over to talk with Joseph. And he wasn't saying much. We're just standing there. He's right in front of me. His head is down. And he looks up, and he has this tears are just filled in his eyes. And he just said this. He said, thank you. He said, thank you. Of course, he was referring to his salvation. And of course, he realized his health was failing, and he didn't know if he would be alive by the time that I returned. He was somebody who heard the gospel. How did he hear the gospel? Because a preacher was sent. When I was, of course, we can go on and on and on and on with this. I'm going to do one more. I was, the other missionary asked me to, there was one other missionary on the island, again, for 9, 10 of the years, there was another missionary on the island. And he was about 5 hours from us in the capital of our province. And every year he'd have me preach. He'd have me preach for him, a step meeting for him every year. And this year he asked me to do an additional one. He said he had an open door on one of the outer islands from our island. And so I had agreed that I would go there and preach it. And of course he's going to come with me. And it was funny, when this thing got started, he was a fellow, I think I might have told you this before, I don't know. We get to the beach area, we're getting to get a little banana boat, and head out to this island that's out there. And I look around and there's no boat operator. Now, he doesn't have experience on these boats. I do. I've been on them many times. We've got to travel out for the supply runs. We get on these banana boats. There's times I, you know, just didn't think I was coming back from those things. And I said, well, where's the boat operator? It's just us. He said, well, I'll operate the boat. And he said, I was in the Navy. And I said, I was in the Air Force, but you're not going to let me fly you in a plane. And I'm not going to let you operate me in this boat. I said, really, I'm not going without an operator. I said, his name was Terry, too. I said, Terry, I've been in these things. I've seen how quick this ocean can turn. I said, I've controlled them out there when it's nice and flat and it's glass and it's easy going. I said, that's what it looks like right now, but this thing can change in a heartbeat. And so I wasn't kidding. So he went around to go find an operator who would take 3 or 4 days and go with us. And when he found one, probably found one within an hour. And we headed over there. And this island is called New Hanover. Very remote. There's not a vehicle on our island. These have people with cars. There's not a vehicle on this island. There's not a road on this island. There is, there's not a power pole on this island. It's just remote. So what we did was we had to figure out how to get in. We were told to go around to a certain river, and we can head in this river and get into where we're going. So we're following these instructions that were given to us of how to get to this place where I'm going to be preaching. And it was hard to get in because the waves were actually, we got to this part of this island and the waves crashed and we're supposed to go, we're just huge. We're like, and this is just going to flip the banana boat. And so we're just really trying to figure out how to do that. The operator seen an opening and he took it, and anyhow, we got into the river. And then we're going through this river and we're going slow and we're just amazed. We're just going through this. People are coming about, and on the edge of the river, almost the whole side, on both sides was a cliff, not really high up, about 10 foot, I would say. About 10 foot up on both sides, and then people are just coming out and staring at us as they see, you know, two white guys coming down the river. And Daniel was also with me at the time. He was, I don't know, 13, 14 years old at the time, and they're just staring at us and staring at us and heading down. And it was one of those surreal moments as you were heading down this river. And, of course, first time either of us had been on this island. We went about 2 hours down that river, and then we had to hike. All right, we figured out our location, we're at on the river, and then we had to hike in. Not a real long hike. It would have been really boring to you, Matt. I think we hiked about an hour or two more hiking to get in. But we came in, it was in a valley area, and we're sitting down there, and people are starting to come over and talk with us a little bit. And I'm sitting down on a bamboo bench. We've been there a few hours, and it's about 4 or 5 o'clock. So the sun sets at the same time 365 days a year because we're right on the equator. So 6 p.m. the sun sets. So we're about an hour or two from sunset, and then I hear this beating going on behind me, and it wasn't what they call a garamut drum. And I had only seen, you know, a tourist version of these things. I'd never seen a real one. And it's echoing throughout the entire valley. You just hear this thing going out. And I'd asked, you know, why are they doing that? They said, well, now everybody knows something's going on. Come on down. And they said, it'll take a few hours, but people will start showing up. And so sure enough, here comes all the people coming in. They're all coming in. And then we start preparing for the service. And I'm going to be preaching. I still remember when I preached the first night, I preached a message on God's simple ways. And tying that into salvation, with how simple salvation is. The majority of people miss salvation because of how simple it is. Just like we talked about this morning, they think it's reformation and not regeneration. They think if I clean my life up, if I go to church, if I change this, if I do this, then I'm going to please God. And listen, you're never going to be able to do that. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. That is it. It's not reforming your life that saves you. It's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the repentance and faith. That's the only thing that's going to save you. But anyhow, I preached on God's simple ways that night, tying that into salvation. And one of those, it was just absolutely packed, just packed. And you have to be careful because, if I wanted to, if I was to say this, everybody bow your head and pray this prayer, every single person would do it. dangerous as anything. So I never did that. Never one time was I about to do anything of that nonsense that takes place nowadays. And so once I finished, I'm going through a series of questions trying to elaborate, all right, who the Lord's really dealing with here. And we had several hands go up. I don't remember exactly, probably around five to ten, and dealing with about five or six of them, if I remember right. But anyhow, when one of the fellow's hands went up, the guy who had organized this, all right, he was already saved. He was living on our island. It was him that was orchestrating this event, that wanted this event to take place. He wanted his home village to hear the gospel. And so when one of the hands went up, the guy comes running up to me, and he says, that man right there with the hand up, he said, he is the pastor of the United Church. Now, on our island, every village has a United Church or a Catholic Church, every single one. The United Church is not the one of Canada, nor is it the one in Australia. It's unique to PNG. It was non-gospel preaching. It had been swallowed up by the charismatic movement and other things as well, other problems as well. And so, anyhow, I said, well, I'll talk with him. So I bring him. I go and talk with him. I had him close out the service. And so I'm going through the gospel. His name was Henry. Going through the gospel with him. And I get near the end. And it clicks. I always love the part when it clicks. And he just starts crying. He starts crying. And of course, they asked me, ready to put your faith in Christ? And he said, oh, yes. And he told me over and over, he said, I never knew this. I never knew this. I thought I was fine. I never knew. He puts his faith in Christ. And then he knew conversion took place. I didn't have to question with him. Because the first thing he said was this, my family and my church have to hear this. They have to hear this. Second night comes along. We talked almost the whole night. I don't think I went to sleep 5 minutes that entire night. I talked with him that whole night. He came back with us. We were going to train him. He came back with us when we left from this meeting. And the next night, preaching again, and several hands went up again to be talked with after we went through a series of questions. And so we got down to about five. There was, I don't remember the total number of conversions from that. It was somewhere between 5 to 10 who were converted during that meeting. And the second night, though, the hands start going up, and that same fellow organizer came running to me. We had a new fellow who'd come in. He wasn't there the first night. I watched him come in late that night during the song service. And he was sitting right on the end, basically on this side, about where Roger is sitting. He was sitting right on the end. And he comes running. And I'm preaching by, the only lighting I have is a kerosene lamp. That's what we're preaching by. We didn't start preaching until night, so it's one of those kerosene pressure lamps and like that. And so we're preaching by the kerosene lamps. And he comes running to me and he says, that guy was hanging up right there, he's the deacon at that pastor's church. I said, I'll talk with him too. I went and got him. Now, he wasn't there the first night. He had no idea that his pastor had come forward the first night. He didn't know. So I deal with the deacon. I go through the gospel with him, and he puts his faith in Christ. Just amazing. The pastor and the deacon of that church that had a false gospel came to know Christ as their Savior. That doesn't happen unless I was sent. It doesn't happen unless I was sent. If you want the right perspective so you're not giving grudgingly, keep the right face on missions. Remember what it's about. And I could go on with story after story after story after story of person after person. You know, you remember in the video last week, again, it's my favorite clip from the country. I might have been Brother Tuttle took it out. It was somebody on a mission trip that took it. We were in Willow. Did you go to Willow with me? Willow is about, took us about 4 or 5 hours south of Nametanai. It's near the end of New Ireland. Well, not quite. It does go further, but the road ends about that, at that village. And I've been doing outreach there. I had led several people to the Lord already in that village and trying to get a work started. But that video clip was of that man hearing the gospel for the very first time in his life. Did you see how he was listening? Did you see how intense it was? I mean, it's somebody for the first time hearing the gospel. That's what it's about. By the way, think of those stats from Anchorage that I gave out last week. Was it 35.7% claim a religion of any sort in Anchorage? That's it. I want to be, when I read that, that surprised me. I did not expect that number to be that low. We're talking of any denomination, of any religion, of any sort. The grand total in the demographics for Anchorage, not even 36%. Wow. You know what that tells me? There's a whole lot of people also right here that have never heard the gospel. I've never heard it. I've never heard the gospel. But if you want to have the right attitude for it, you got to have the right perspective on missions. So how do we participate in this? One thing you got to do next week, you got to be praying. You got to be praying the entire time. Praying, asking God for His will. And then when God shows you, then that's when you make that faith promise. Lord, we are promising you that in the next 12 months, this is what we're giving to missions. This is what we're going to do. Please make it a matter of prayer. Please do not enter something like this without praying about it. You will make a carnal decision. All right? You just follow what the Lord leads. I'll never know what you give to missions. Do you understand that? I'll never know. It's between you and the Lord. It says you purpose in your heart. I'll never know. There's no names on this. The only reason we've got to collect them so we can see, we can make sure, one, that we can currently support all the missionaries that we do have. And then secondly, all right, what else can we do? You know, we have, which I should, while we're talking about missions, Brother Harbaugh will be leaving Homer in May. He's already bought a house in Oklahoma. Homer Independent Baptist Church is, if for those of you who don't know, our church started Homer Independent Baptist Church. That was an outreach out of our church. And so Brother Harbaugh will be leaving in May, and he's already bought a house in Oklahoma. He's heading down to Oklahoma. But Brother Jake, let me remember his name. He was just here. What is it? Yeah, what is that? Say that again. Yeah, that name. That name right there. He'll be coming in May. You know what? We need to be able to support that. That's the work out of our church. If we don't give to missions, how are we going to do that? You know, think of all the problems. We have missionaries coming in here, in the Philippines, in South Africa, in England, Dominican Republic. We have a responsibility not only to reach Anchorage, but to reach throughout the world. So, again, please approach this from a spiritual standpoint, asking the Lord what He would have you to do. And then understand this. It's scriptural. It's something we see right out of the Word of God. It's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be in to guide us and direct us in our life. It's something that can involve every single member. You can get your children involved in faith problems. The parents watch it. If they're going to actually do that, make sure they're not putting down, I'm going to get $50 a month. You know, if they get an allowance and they're going to put down a nickel a month, that's fine. Trust the Lord to bless them with that and help them be responsible to that end. If they're going to give 5 cents a month, well, let them. Let them learn that responsibility for it. But just make sure that you see over that. We don't want kids filling these out, and all of a sudden we're giving $400,000 a month to missions, and it was just a kid with a really earnest heart. We don't want that. Again, it's an act of faith. It's something you're trusting God for. This is an organized, systematic approach to missions giving, and it's local church-centered. It's helping us to do the work of God and the will of God at the same time, and it allows the Lord, it helps us to be in a place where we can have the blessing of God and the favor of God in our life. Again, it's all about that. With heads bowed and eyes closed.